Hey guys, this is Gabe Andrade, the lead pastor of Tree of Life Church. Our vision is to lead people to become all-in followers of Jesus Christ. Our hope is that this podcast inspires you to grow deeper in your relationship with God and others. Enjoy this message.
I've been asking this question. I've been asking myself this question: do I love God more than anything? Do I love Jesus above anything and everything? I've been following the Lord for a long time. How many of you guys were raised in church or some type of religious setting? Would you raise your hand? Okay. I want you to think about how many times you've attended church, a church service. How many sermons have you listened to? Several, right? I want you to think about how many songs you've sung, how many meetings you've been to, and then I want you to compare it to the transformation in your life. At some point, I would sit and I would receive sermon after sermon, message after message, meeting after meeting, conference after conference, and I would walk away and nothing would change. I remember being stirred up with a good word. I'd be stirred up, I'd get excited, I'd be joyful, but I would go back to living for myself. Nothing would ever change. Then at some point, I started thinking, something is off, something is wrong. I'm still struggling with sin. Something is not right, I still go back to the same lifestyle. I'm not changing. It's because I thought that I would just come and sit and receive and then go back to the world and live my life as usual. And then I got delusional and I started thinking, well, church doesn't work. And some people come because they want their life to change, or they want to fix their marriage, or something is off. They have some type of problem. And so the first thought is, I got to get back to church because my life is a mess. So they come with the thoughts that God's going to fix my life. And if there's no transformation, then your life doesn't change, and then you become discouraged. Some people think that, well, if I go to church, then my problems will cease. I won't have problems anymore and troubles. So they come and they still have problems and troubles, and then they get discouraged. Some people come because they want a better life, and I want a better version of myself, and I want to better myself, and I'm doing good in these other areas, but I need to check this off the list. I need the God compartment. I need that to be right in my life. And so Sundays for you is just a compartment. It's just a section of your life. It's just a part of your life, but it's not your life. Am I speaking to anybody yet? The issue is, are you in love with God? Are we in love with Him? Have you ever heard that saying? People have said this before. I love you. I'm just not in love with you. Does that feel any better to the person receiving that statement? I love you. It's not you. It's me. That doesn't feel good. And I think sometimes we have that attitude with the Lord. We say, God, I love you. I'm just not in love with you. I love you. I'm not ready to change. I love you, but I love me more, is what you're really saying. So what type of people are we? What type of community are we? We're the type of community that is after the heart of God. Have you ever felt butterflies when you're about to meet somebody that you can't wait to meet? Have you ever felt that expectation? It's like when you're a kid and you're going to go to Six Flags or Disneyland or Disney World or something fun or some kind of trip, or you can't wait the night before. You have this expectation, you're dreaming about it, you're thinking about it, and you have this anticipation, this feeling in your heart. You're just, I cannot wait. You're excited. When is the last time you felt that way about gathering in His name? I play sports. I love sports. I play golf. I love golf. Okay. I've never been late to tea time. Never been late to tea time. You know what a tea time is? It's basically a reservation of when I'm supposed to play. So if it's at 6 in the morning, I get there at 5. If it's at noon, I'll get there at 11. Because I love to play. Let me explain it to you. If I have a tea time, especially when I'm on vacation, in the morning, like first thing in the morning, at night, I'll start ironing my clothes. And I set my clothes out, and I start dreaming of the next day. Start thinking, I'm gonna play good. I gotta get that rhythm going, swing. I'm just like excited, and I never miss a tea time. I was talking to a friend about the things of God, and I invited him to one of our life groups. And he says, okay, man, and he plays golf with me, by the way, every now and then. He goes, cool. He goes, can you send me a text to remind me of the life group? I said, yeah. At first, I said, yeah, I'll send you a text. I got you. Then I thought about it. I'm like, I'd never have to send him a text to remind him of our tea time. So I said, hey, bro, you're a grown man. I don't have to remind you to go play golf. Why should I have to remind you to go to church? And he laughed. He goes, ah, got it. That's how we are. We love things. We love stuff more than we love God. And our life is a manifestation of it. So I want us to get to a point where we can admit that we don't love God as much as we think we do. I want you to get to a point where you can just bring that to the Lord and say, yeah, you're right. I love this TV show more than I love the Word. I love movies more than I love spending time with God. I love music that doesn't glorify or honor God, but it makes me feel good, you know? At some point, we have to be so completely honest with God and say, yeah, I love these images more than I love to behold your beauty, God. There are some men that love women more than they love God. You love your own pleasure more than you love God. You love food more than you love God. Some people love smoking more than they love God. You love sin more than you love God. At some point when that honest, we're like, yeah, when you're that honest to say, you know what? I don't love God as much as I think I do. We can start there. We can start there. Jesus is on his way to the cross and he's praying for his disciples. He's talking to his people. As a matter of fact, I do have it on the screen. John chapter 14. And this is what Jesus says to his disciples. Read it with me. And let's stop right there, okay? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Here's what most people think. I got to keep his commandments so that I could love him. Just backwards. In other words, I've had people say to me, I'm not ready to get baptized. Why? What do I have to give up? Most people, if a guy came to me that wants to marry my daughter's only 14, let's say 20 years from now, okay? And he says, I love your daughter. I'm just kind of struggling. I don't know if I want to marry her because I don't know what I'm not sure I'm ready to give anything up yet. He's like, you better bounce. You better go somewhere. If a guy says, I love your daughter, but I also love these other women too. I'm still trying to, can you be patient with me? I'm still trying to decide whether I love your daughter or I love these other girls Or is it possible? Can I love your daughter and them at the same time? I'd be like, you got 2 seconds to get out of my face. That sounds so silly. People have this attitude, okay, what's it going to cost me? The Bible says count your costs. True. But it's a better mindset to think, what did it cost him for me to be close? What did it cost God to bankrupt heaven so that I could have an inheritance in God? What did it cost him? What sacrifice did he make so that I could be loved by him and so that I could love him? That's a different mindset. We don't love him as much as we think we do. And our life is a manifestation of it. So, here's what people think. Let's work out the details. What does it mean to love God? What do I have to stop doing? What do I have to stop listening to? What do I need to stop? Instead, you should be thinking, what do I need to start doing? What do I need to engage in? See, it's a different mindset. Jesus said to his followers, if you love me, then you will obey my commandments. If you love me, you'll live for me, basically. Listen to what I'm saying, so clear. And the reason why I'm preaching to you is because there's no point in playing music if you're not going to worship. There's no point. Does it make sense? We're not like, come lounge and listen to some music. It's not what we are. We're going to worship the King, but if your heart is not geared towards worshiping him, there's no point. I'll tell the band, hey, you guys are dismissed. We'll worship. That's how I really feel. Because God is worthy of more than what we can absolutely bring him. The least we can do is bring him our heart. The least we can do is bring him our gratitude. The least we can do is fall before him in humility. It's the least that we can do. Read this with me again. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. When I talk to a man or a woman, and she says to me, or he says to me, I'm having a hard time in my marriage. My marriage is really hard to be married. It's really difficult to be married. It's super hard to be a father. I'm just like, I need to escape this life. I'm gonna go to Vegas so I can escape from my life. It's difficult to live for someone you don't love. Do you hear what I just said? It's almost impossible to live for someone you don't love. I love you. I'm just not in love with you. When you're in love, you do difficult things. Leah, how many weeks do you have left? 6 weeks. You love your baby? Because she loves her baby, she's willing to have this baby. It's very hard to have a child. Very difficult for a woman to give birth. Very painful. But she loves the baby more than she loves the pain. Does it make sense? Her love for her baby helps her endure, not just through the labor, for the rest of the child's life. Does it make sense? She loves a little boy, and she'll stay up all night for him. When he's sick, she'll do everything and anything so that he can get better. Right? When they're walking across the street, she makes sure, stay close, hold my hand. Instead of being out and being crazy and wild living, she's like, I'm a mom. It's not me anymore. She does difficult things, hard stuff, because she loves. And because she loves, she can do hard things. There were people in the Bible that were obsessed with God, that loved him, even unto death. There were people that loved God so much that they said, even if you have to take my life, I will not renounce my faith. They loved him so much that they're saying, you know what? We count it a joy to be persecuted for the sake of Christ. There were people that loved him so much, they were willing to give everything up for him. Everything, absolutely everything. Do we love him that way? Some people will say, I'm not there yet. Please admit that. I'm admitting that I'm falling in love with God right now. I'm falling in love with him. I'm falling in love with the Lord. I love him more than money. I love him more than anything and everything. I love him more than pleasures of this world. I love him more than sin. I love him more than my comforts. I love him more than anything. Even I love him more than I love my wife. I love him more than I love my children. And I love my children extremely, like radically, tremendously a lot. So Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 16. And then Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. That's the Holy Spirit. How many of you need help? It says, if you love me, then you'll want to live for me. And if you love me, you'll want to live for me. You're going to receive my spirit so that I can help you. And I'll be with you forever. Verse 17. Read this. Even the spirit of truth. Do you know that we're bound by so many things? We're bound by fear. That means we're in chains. We're bound with bondage of sin, perversion, substance abuse. Bound by so many distractions. Bound by envy. We're bound by so many lies. Some of you have believed lies and you're manifesting a lie. But he says, if you love me, you will live for me. I'll give you my spirit. It's the spirit of truth. And then he also tells his disciples that you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. He says, even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He's talking to his disciples. He dwells with you, but now he's going to be in you. He's among you, but you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are going to be full of the Holy Spirit within you. And then he says to his disciples, his followers, 18, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. But I will come to you. I'm not going to leave you fatherless. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to leave you in the state that you're in. I'm going to come back. He says to his disciples, 19, he says, yet a little while and the world will see me no more, because he does die. He's buried. But he says, but you will see me. He comes back and he manifests himself to his disciples. Because I live, you also will live. Verse 20, in that day you will know that I am in the Father and that you are in me and I in you. So he's talking about this unity, this connection, this communion. Verse 21, follow me well. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them. It is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. See, here's what I want you to understand. The more that we love him, the more he reveals himself to us. The more that we see him, the more that our eyes open, the more that we are awakened to his greatness, to his majesty, to his goodness, the more that we come alive. When we love him, we live for him. He reveals himself to us by his Spirit. Our life is forever changed. Here's what Judas, not the one who betrayed him, it's a different Judas. Verse 22 says this. Judas said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? 23. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. There it is. How do we love you? We love him, then we keep his word. We live by his word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. How many of you guys want the Lord to make his home with you? That's your heart. Verse 10. We just skipped to another chapter altogether. Let's go back. Jesus answered, I want to read this again. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. First John 4:10 says this. This is real love. Not that we love God. In other words, we can't even love him until we receive his love. We don't even know how to love him. He's got to teach us how to love him, because we don't love correctly. We love conditionally. We love based on feelings and emotions. Sometimes it's just a fantasy. We confuse lust with love. I love you. No, you just lust her. You don't really love her. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Okay. So here's the question. Here's where we're going as a church. We're falling in love with God. That's what we're doing. We're falling in love with him. And it's okay to admit, I'm just not there yet. Admit it. Admit that you love stuff, people, things, even sin, more than you love God. Because it's really difficult to live for someone you don't love. And if you've ever said, you know what, man, it's hard to be a Christian. You're not in love with him. Man, it's hard to read the word. You're not in love with him. Man, it's difficult to pray. I don't know what to pray. You're not in love with him. And I feel awkward during worship. I feel awkward. I don't know how to worship. You're not in love with him. You're not in love with him. Man, I have a hard time. I'm not gathering and meeting with God's people because you're not in love with them. I just keep making excuses, man. I'll go. You're not in love with them. It's okay to admit that you're not in love with them. Start there. At least admit it. That's a confession. That's a confession. How many of you guys would admit that you love God, but you're just not in love with him? Would you admit that? Who's going to be bold to say, you know what, I don't think I love him the way I should. The way I was designed to. I love my convenience, my comfort. I love myself, actually, more than I love God. Could you admit that? There was an expert that came to Jesus, and we'll read this in Matthew. I believe it's in Matthew. Matthew 22:35 says this. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, Which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." The Lord says, "You're trying to live life without loving me. How is that working for you?" You're trying to love your wife without loving me. How was that working for you? You're trying to love your kids without loving me. How many times have you blown that? You're trying to love people that are difficult to love without loving him. It's very hard. God says, it's a commandment. Love me with all your heart, your soul, and your mind and strength. Because if you love me, you'll live for me, and you'll live like me. You'll love like me. You'll become like me. See, the issue that I started with, how many sermons have you heard? How many messages have you heard? How many services have you been to? How long have you been serving the Lord? Do you look like Jesus? Is your life completely, radically changed? Are you obsessed with God? Are you addicted to him? Are you fascinated by him? Are you in awe and wonder of him? And his name shall be called Wonderful. Is he wonderful to you? Does your heart beat for him? Don't fall in love with the Lord. Fall in love with God. But I wasn't always there. If you love me, you will live for me. And then I will give you my spirit so that you can respond to me. And I will help you. The spirit of truth. You will know my truth, and the truth will set you free. I will teach you to be like me, to live like me. I'll give you my spirit, the Holy Spirit. But when you have the Holy Spirit, he says, make sure that you don't quench the Holy Spirit, that you don't put that fire out. I don't know about you, but I like watching things burn, specifically wood. I like firewood. I like fire pits. I like bonfires. I love the way it looks, and I just stare at the fire and I'm amazed. I'm like, fire is just pretty fascinating, actually. There is supposed to be a fire in your heart that burns for the Lord. There is supposed to be a passion in your heart that precedes your love for sports, and your love for the Cowboys, your love for the Rangers, your love for anything. There's supposed to be a fire that precedes your love for the comforts of this life. For food and all those things that we've mentioned. So let's read the scripture. It says the following. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Read this with me. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. One more time. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. One more time. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. I wish I had a candle up here so that I can give you that demonstration. But don't quench the Holy Spirit. In other words, if the fire is burning, don't extinguish the fire. Okay? Don't extinguish. There should be a fire burning in your heart for the Lord. The first thing you do when you get up is, thank you, my flame. I have to guard that flame. I can't let that flame cease. I have to make sure I have a flame in my heart that's burning for the Lord. I have to make sure that I have to guard that because He's given me His Spirit. I'm a keeper of the flame. I've been telling our leaders, and leaders are anyone that's hungry, but humble, hungry, honest, and honoring. And so I've been telling them, we're keepers of the flame. That means we have to guard the hunger. We have to guard the passion. We have to guard the flame. We're keepers of the flame. We're not going to quench the flame. You should burn brighter for Him. You should be in love with Him more now than ever before. I'm done with coming and walking away the same. I'm done with gathering. Nothing changes. I'm done with that. If we're gathering with Him, if we're meeting in the presence of God, we should be transformed into His image and likeness. We're keepers of the flame. The priests in the old covenant, they had to make sure that the candles in the menorah, the seven candles representing the sevenfold Spirit of God, that they were always lit. The candles were to never run out. The fire was to never cease. Every day the priest would guard the flame and make sure that it was burning. Because Jesus is the light of the world, it represents Christ. He had the sevenfold Spirit of God within Him. He was anointed by the Spirit of God, and He would know without measure. The point is this, the priest made sure, is the flame still burning? Are the candles still lighting the room? Is there still fire forever burning? So they were keepers of the flame. We're keepers of the flame. The Spirit of wisdom, I'm a keeper of the flame. The Spirit of knowledge, I'm the keeper of the flame. The fear of the Lord, I'm a keeper of the flame. The Spirit of might, I'm a keeper of the flame. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I'm a keeper of the flame. I'm a keeper of the flame. I have to make sure that this flame, that I'm more passionate about this person than a celebrity, than an athlete, than anyone and everyone, even my own spouse. I have to make sure that my fire is burning so bright for the Lord, because He's given me His Spirit. The next scripture in Ephesians says this, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Here's what I'm asking the Lord. Does this please you? Does this please you? I don't want to bring sorrow to your heart. Is what I'm doing pleasing to you? Is what I'm watching pleasing to you? Is what I'm listening to pleasing to you? Is what I'm reading pleasing to you? Are my thoughts pleasing to you? Are my words honoring? Is my lifestyle, does it reflect your heart? Does my marriage, does it please you? Is the culture in my house, is it pleasing to you? Do you know when God is grieved? Have you ever been around somebody that offends you greatly and they act like nothing happened? And they hurt you. They literally hurt you. And the next day they're like, what's up? How you doing? And you're like, you hurt me. You're acting like nothing happened. God grieves. Some people think God's heart is made of rubber. No, it's not. You're made in His image and likeness. Have you hurt? He hurts. I started with this and I'm ending this message with this. We don't love God as much as we think we do. It's not okay to say to God, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. That is not okay. It's very difficult to live for someone you don't love. So we're falling in love with God. And if you're not there, admit it. I say, God, I don't love you like I think I do. I love myself way too much. I love sin way too much. My desires reflect evil more than they do righteousness. Admit it. He can work with that. So today, this is an altar right up here. And an altar is a place of exchange. An altar is a place where something dies so that something can live. An altar is a place where we bring and say, here's my guilt. Father, I need your righteousness. Here's my sin. Lord, teach me how to be a saint. Father, here's my apathy. God, I want to be enthusiastic. Lord, here's my passivity. I need your passion. Here are my excuses. Lord, help me to execute a righteous life. God, here I'm coming, God, and I'm bringing myself as a living sacrifice before the altar. And I'm exchanging, God. I don't want to live liking you. I don't want to live kind of. I kind of serve God. I'm kind of a Christian. I'm just like, you know, not ready. I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to be completely obsessed with God, in love with Him, amazed by Him. So it's an altar. The Lord is rebuilding His church with this foundation of love. The love for Him. We're going back to the first commandment. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're going back to the first commandment. If you want to fall in love with the Lord, I'm inviting you to come to the altar. I want to invite you to come. If you want to be a keeper of the flame, come to the altar.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing this message with friends and family. For more information, visit our website, treeoflife.church, or across social media at Tree of Life Church. See you next week.